Good morning and welcome to Global Bank's conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions, and at that time, instructions will be given if you would like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Maria Barona of I-Advise Corporate Communications. Please go ahead.
Thank you and welcome everyone to Global Bank's full year 2019 results call. Thank you all for joining us today. With us from Global Bank, we have Mr. Jorge Vallarino, the company's Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Carlos Moniz, Chief Financial Officer. They will be reviewing the quarterly report, which was issued prior to this call. They will also be referencing the presentation, highlighting the company's annual performance, which was also distributed by email. The presentation, as well as related financial statements for the year, can be found on the Global Bank's corporate website at www.globalbank.com.pa. Please be advised that forward-looking statements may be made during this conference call. These do not account for future economic circumstances, industry conditions, the company's future performance, or financial results. As such, statements made are based on several assumptions and factors that could change, causing actual results to materially differ from the current expectations. Additionally, certain alternative financial measures such as return on average assets, return on average equity, and operating efficiency are included in the discussions here today. These are defined as necessary in the presentation that accompanies this call. At this point, I'd like to turn the call over to Mr. Vallarino for his opening remarks. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Maria. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining our call. This year was a very important one for Global Bank as we closed the acquisition of Banvivienda on November 30, 2018, and completed the integration on May 31, 2019. We believe that there is a significant opportunity to leverage our broad platform to offer additional products to Banvivienda's customers, such as insurance products, pension funds, and credit cards. It is important to also note that both Standard & Poor's and Fitch Ratings affirmed our BBB- ratings and maintained the stable outlook as a result of the acquisition. The Banvivienda acquisition significantly expanded the size of Global Bank. Total assets reached $8.4 billion and total loans closed at $6.4 billion, representing a year-over-year increase of 28.5% and 27.8%. Meanwhile, client deposits are up 38.2% year-over-year from $3.5 billion in 2018 to $4.9 billion as of year-end 2019. Regarding our profitability for the year, it is important to note that we started consolidating Banvivienda's results as of December 1, 2018. Therefore, our 2019 earnings include 7 months of Banvivienda's results. Net income on an adjusted basis was up 2% year-over-year at $68.1 million. Later in the presentation, we will go into the adjustments made to net income to reconcile the impact of non-recurring expenses related to the Banvivienda acquisition. Finally, our regulatory capital ratio closed at 13.96%, well above Panama's 8% regulatory minimum. Before we dive into our portfolio and performance in detail, I'd like to provide an update on the Panamanian economy. Panama's $65 billion economy is one of the wealthiest on a per capita basis in Latin America and has historically shown peer-leading growth. While GDP grew below expectations at approximately 4% in 2018, due largely to the impact of a strike in the construction sector, the IMF expects growth to reach 6% in 2019, then stabilize around 5.5% over the next few years. On July 1st, new President Laurentino Cortizo took office. His party also won the majority in Panama's Congress. We expect continuity in Panama's market-friendly economic framework and fiscal prudence, and expect the current administration's agenda to focus largely on stimulating the economy, fighting corruption, and strengthening the rule of law. I will now turn the call over to Carlos, who will walk you through our performance in more detail.
Thank you, Jorge. Good morning, and thank you all for joining our 2019 end-of-year call. First, I'll go through our balance sheet, and then we'll move on to the income statement. On slide 3, I'll touch upon our consumer banking highlights. The consumer banking portfolio represents over 45% of total loans. As Jorge mentioned, our loan portfolio expanded significantly this year as a result of the acquisition. Consumer loans grew 41%, driven primarily by growth in our mortgage portfolio, which is currently our largest product, representing 59% and 27% of our consumer and total loans, respectively. Another important highlight is a 10% growth in car loans through the acquisition. We are now the second largest bank in auto loans with a 17% market share. On a standalone basis, Global Bank continued its strategy of growing its credit card business and retiree loan segments by leveraging its distribution network and cross-selling its large client base. As you can see on slide 4, as a result of the Bambuyen acquisition, we also grew our corporate loan portfolio by 18% to $3.5 billion. The expansion was driven primarily by growth in agriculture and commercial loans. Excluding Banco Nacional, we are the largest provider of agricultural loans in Panama with a 23% market share. Looking forward, our strategy is to increase volume by targeting high-growth industries, leverage our size, and profitability for clients. Moving on to slide 5, our asset quality has remained strong across the loan portfolio. In the past 2 years, along with accelerating economic growth and an increase in unemployment, NPLs across the banking system, as well as Global Bank, have steadily gone up and stand at 1.8% and 2% respectively. Our countermeasures to these factors have relied upon actively managing both the consumer and corporate loan portfolios through efficient collections, restructurings, and an important increase in reserves to $119 million for 2019. I would also like to mention that we successfully offloaded our largest NPL from the loan portfolio in May. As many of you are aware, this loan to a reinsurance company was collateralized by a property in a prime real estate area in Panama. In June, this property was sold to a group of investors with a net recovery as expected. From an NPL coverage perspective, we significantly strengthened our ability to absorb any future loan deterioration, as it is up to 93% versus 53% in 2018. For 2020, we expect NPLs to stabilize around 2 to 2.3%, and we will generate enough earnings throughout the year to maintain our current ratios. On to slide 6 on the investment portfolio. Our investment portfolio stood at $852 million for 2019, with nearly 50% of it invested in investment-grade securities. The main focus of our investments are in the financial, real estate, and government securities, which together conform 74% of the total portfolio. Along with our cash on hand, our investment portfolio is a core part of our base liquidity. From that point of view, we closed the year with an LCR ratio and primary liquidity of 92% and 57% respectively. Both of these metrics were well above the regulatory minimum of 25% and 30%. Jumping to slide 7 on funding. We continue to have a well-diversified funding base of $7.5 billion that is anchored by core client deposits of $4.8 billion. As we have mentioned in previous presentations, part of the strategic rationale of the acquisition for Bambivienda was their local deposit base, which was the main contributor to our 38% year-over-year growth. Additional key components of our funding base are corporate bonds and bank financing. We had a very active year on both fronts, with the $230 million tender of our 2019 bonds, $300 million issuance of our first 10-year bond, and the structuring of multilateral loans with the IDB and CABE for a combined $160 million. Slide 8 provides a snapshot of our funding metrics. We decreased our loan-to-deposit ratio from 141% to 131% year-over-year as a result of the addition of Bambuyenda's deposit base. Our cost of funding rose across the board over the past year to 3.5%, driven primarily by higher competition for local deposits and increase in LIBOR. Moving on to capital on slide 9. As Jorge previously mentioned, our capital adequacy ratio for 2019 stood at 13.96%, well above the 8% regulatory minimum. Our CET1 and total Tier 1 ratios were 11.6% and 13.8% respectively. After completing the Banvivienda acquisition on December 1st, we successfully increased our capital to retain earnings and expect a range between 14 to 14.5% in 2020. Let's turn to slide 10 for a review of our P&L. As mentioned before, we have 7 months of Banvivienda baked into our results for 2019. To begin, there was a solid income growth over the course of the year, increasing 10% year over year to $202 million, driven primarily by the acquisition and additional fees from investment banking and consumer loan disbursements. Moving on to slide 11, let's review our total expenses. Our expenses, which totaled $457 million, were driven by four factors. First, compensation for local deposits among Panamanian banks. Second, increase in LIBOR that impacted our financings and bonds. Third, non-recurring expenses related to the acquisition. And lastly, a 140% increase in provisioning expense to $29 million, driven by the integration of Banvivienda's loan portfolio and general credit conditions in Panama. Slide 12 provides an overview of our adjusted net income. Approximately 68% of the adjustment to the net income was concentrated in non-recurring expenses related to severance, IT, and the standardization of Banvivienda loans to Global Bank's more conservative expected loss provisioning model. Adding back the aforementioned non-recurring expenses to reported net income of $46 million resulted in a total adjusted net income of $68 million, which is approximately 2% increase from 2018. At this point, let's turn to slide 13, which provides an overview of our KPIs. Our net interest margin was 2.27%, which is down 7 basis points from 2018. As mentioned before, we saw some pressure to our NIMs in 2019 driven by higher rates on both local deposits and LIBOR. That being said, we expect to see a slight improvement to our NIM in 2020, driven by the repayment of the 2019 bonds with cheaper funding, and a downward trending LIBOR curve, which should lower our floating rate funding cost. From an efficiency perspective, adjusting for non-recurring costs, we saw an improved cost ratio of 53.8%. The synergies from Banvivienda, along with economies of scale, should drive this ratio toward 50% in 2020. Meanwhile, our adjusted return on average equity was 9.8%, down 140 basis points from 2018 levels. Looking forward, we expect to generate a net income between 80 and 85 million, which should result in an ROE range of 10 to 11%. With that, I will turn the presentation back to Jorge for closing remarks. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. In conclusion, our fiscal year 2019 was a very important year for Global Bank as we completed the Banvivienda acquisition, which helped us expand significantly and solidify our position as a top-tier bank in Panama. We also saw solid growth in net interest and fee income and were able to maintain sound profitability and operational metrics. Moving forward, we are confident in our strategy to continue expanding and enhancing our platform to pursue growth across the portfolio while maintaining solid asset quality. Thank you all for listening today. With that, we will open the discussion up to questions. Operator, please go ahead.
Thank you. And at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone. You may remove yourself from the queue at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, that's star and one to ask a question. Your first question comes from Nicolas Riva with Bank of America. Your line is now open.
Yeah, thanks, Jorge and Carlos, for the call. I have three questions or three topics where I wanted to get your thoughts. The first one, so clearly, you know, the acquisition of Banvivienda had a big impact and noise in terms of results this year. If I take out the non-recurring expenses from Banvivienda, it looks like your net income on a recurring basis in the fourth quarter was about $25 million. So analyzed about, you know, $100 million. Is that a reasonable number to expect for fiscal year 2020 net profits? Because if I compare that with the last year before the acquisition of Banvivienda, where you made $67 million, it looks like a big jump. Second question, in terms of liability management, so you just did the re-tap for $100 million on the 2029 bonds, but you have a big maturity, relatively big, $320 million. coming due in October. What's your idea in terms of refinancing that maturity? And then the third and last question, have you seen any impact yet from Panama being back on the gray list by the Financial Action Task Force in terms of, for example, losing relationships with some correspondent banks or any impact at all in terms of higher compliance costs, et cetera? Thanks.
Okay. Thank you for the questions. So I'll answer the first question regarding the net income expected for the year and the and your assumption for the fourth quarter of the last fiscal period. You know, we expect, I mean, not all of the provisioning expense that you saw in the fourth quarter is non-recurring. That's the first thing I would add. So our expectation for this year is a net income of around $80 to $85 million, and a big difference from the previous year and the year before is that, you know, we're assuming loan loss expense provision of $20 to $25 million. Now, to the extent that there's better performance in the in terms of NPLs and we have a lower provisioning expense, you know, we could have a higher net income. So the assumption or the guidance that we have for now is $80 to $85 million, and we're tracking slightly above our budget for this first quarter.
Thanks.
Hey, Nicolas. This is Carlos Moines. With respect to your question on our maturity, our upcoming maturity in October, we're going to fund that bond with committed lines of credit that we have from different institutions. As I mentioned in the call, we have committed lines from both CABE and IDB. We also have multilateral agreements with Chinese Export-Import Bank, and we also have internal facilities of credit, as well as the reopening we just did of the 2029 bond. So we should be more than comfortable repaying that maturity.
Great, thanks.
And then, the third question was impact from the gray list. And we actually have not seen any impact on the gray list inclusion this time around. It's been different from what we saw a few years ago. We did see some pressure when Panama was put in the gray list from some banking relationships were lost. But this time we have not seen an impact, and we believe it's due in large part to the message that the incoming administration has sent regarding, you know, they're getting out of the gray list being a priority, and that message has been also supported by very concrete steps that have been taken in terms of regulation. So no impact so far that we've seen on the inclusion on the gray list.
Okay, thank you very much, Carlos.
And as a reminder, it is star and one to ask a question. Once again, that's star and one. And there are no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn the call back to Mr. Vallarino for any closing remarks.
Thank you. I would like to thank everybody once more for joining us today. We know your time is valuable, and we appreciate your interest in the company. Please do not hesitate to contact us with any questions or concerns you may have in the future. Have a good day.
Thank you.